Welcome to another episode of Creating Exceptional Experiences. I'm Rick Helmick with Five Out, and I'm going to be your host today.
So I'm talking today with Will Monshine, the general manager of Five Out, and we're going to talk about digital strategy and why it's important. Well, I know we've got several points that we want to sort of go through in today's podcast, but I think really the place to start is maybe level set this for the people listening. And, you know, really, what do we consider strategy and why is it important?
Strategy takes many different forms, and all of those forms are really starting to come together. The past few years, there was a big push to do a digital strategy, to make up what is your digital roadmap. What are you going to do digitally about everything? What we've learned is that really a strategy is a strategy. Digital is now ubiquitous within the company. It's everywhere and it does everything. So what your strategy has to encompass is digital, business, organizational, marketing. All of those pieces are all so intertwined now that it really truly just does become a business strategy.
So really in today's world too, not only is it sort of cover all those areas, but you're actually cutting across a lot of different business units than when you're working on a strategy, right? You've got to sort of unify those different groups together.
Absolutely. And that's really the biggest challenge, is that every group has its own agenda, but they all have to come together and work together to drive a strategy forward. That can actually cause problems because you can bite off chunks that are too big. So what we've learned over the past couple years is that a whole all-in digital transformation, digital strategy, very often doesn't work simply because it involves too many moving parts. It affects too many things that are already in motion, and companies basically sort of give up.
So we've sort of pared that back then to sort of make it more of an iterative process or almost agile strategy in a way of really starting to work with those groups and look at where quick wins are then?
That's exactly right. And what we've done is, in the past few years, we would have looked at a six-month engagement that has all of the senior leadership, all the department heads, all of everybody coming together for literally months on end and analyzing all of their business processes. And it's a great exercise to go through, but again, it often can implode as you're going through that process. So what we're doing, and your analogy is great, we're really adopting almost the agile principles of software development. And what we're looking for is those surgical investments. We're looking for places that you can make quick changes, show good value, and incrementally progress your transformation and progress your strategy. Again, similar to that change that we saw about 20 years ago in the marketplace with whole big monolithic, we're going to build a new website, we're going to take a year and we're going to get requirements and we're going to look at everything and then we're going to deploy it. And then as soon as we deploy it, it's out of date and we have to start all over. Similar things with the transformations. Everything is changing faster, more quickly, and the stakes are higher than they ever were before. If you can't move fast, you're going to get left behind.
So what are some of the challenges then that you've experienced when we're doing these strategy projects that are really driving this change in our behavior?
We've recently done some research and we've pulled together a lot of statistics. Again, over the past couple years, we've been seeing a change in the way companies change, if that makes sense. What we've learned is basically almost 70% of the companies that we've worked with, they really struggle with that measurement. What they can do is they're saying we're doing a big transformation. They're saying we're implementing all these things. It's really hard for them to depict it because they're not necessarily producing a new piece of software every time. They're not necessarily producing a new product every time. They are reorganizing the business. They are modernizing their workplace. They're making things more efficient, but it's sort of a soft ROI. Add that to the fact that most companies, they're managing more than 280 on average, 250, 280 customer-facing channels. This could be everything from Twitter to Facebook to websites to call centers. They are constantly getting inundated with content, with feedback, with experience, making the experience the same across all of these channels. And it becomes a massive struggle. But yet 60% of them, as you would expect, recognize that these user experiences and these combined experiences are critical to their success going forward.
Yeah, the proliferation of channels that customers are bombarded with and that businesses are having to support has grown exponentially in the last, just even in the last couple of years.
Absolutely. Think about it. You used to not be able to bring your iPad to work because IT staffs were afraid of letting that out into the wild, of letting all of the pieces onto your personal devices. Now that's becoming executives-only computers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great example. I think really the consumerization of the IT world, of everything, that people have gotten so used to sitting on their couches and doing things on their iPads or ordering things with one click from Amazon, that they really expect that same sort of behavior even at work when they're doing things and how they engage with customers. And I know we recently had a customer, they had, now they have a lot of different prongs to their business, but they literally had 650 social channels alone that they're trying to manage. I mean, the inundation of data that we have now is just horrendous.
And think about it, all of that data is coming in 24 hours a day. It doesn't ebb and flow on a normal cycle. It's, if there is something big going on, they should be focusing on one area of the country or the world and responding to that, and then taking that data in hindsight of after whatever that event was, analyze it, parse it down, and figure out how they can use it to go better. If you have 600 channels, the strategy alone for that is ridiculous. You have to make sure those are in tune.
And I think that's another great point, is that we spend so much time trying to reach all those people in those channels or collect all that data that we're not giving ourselves the appropriate time to really analyze a lot of that data. We're not adjusting those strategies quickly enough to continue to keep up with all the change that's coming at us from all these different channels.
There was a client that we had that was a global fiber optics company. Their business was healthy. Their business was clipping along just fine. They were noticing a little bit of market share was changing. They were able to recognize the fact that they couldn't rest on their laurels and they had to move forward, or even though their business was healthy today, it may not be tomorrow. As we were going through an engagement with them, one part of their business, now they are a company that sells fiber optics to the Amazons and to the Facebooks and people like that. They were starting to acquire telecom companies and cable companies, and what they were seeing was that a lot of they were getting some good business at what they called the last mile. So it was running the fiber optic to the home. Now, bringing to that point, as we were looking through the parts of the business that were slowing down, we were like, well, let's look at the last mile business. This is working really well for you. And they said, that's working fine. Let's ignore it. Let's focus on other stuff. And that was one of the things that was a gap that we were saying, no, this is let's model the rest of the business. Let's look at this. Let's accelerate the strategy for improving the other parts of the business by something that's working very well. And that's sort of the mentality. There's so much stuff that you have to, I don't want to call them shortcuts, but you have to look for ways to shorten your time to market with strategy now, just like you used to with product before.
So when you use that customer as an example, clearly we're out there helping customers, you know, do these strategy engagements and understand what they're doing with their business. But I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, you know, what are the key factors that we're really helping with? How do we help customers execute and be really successful with this strategy and not sort of getting stuck in that analysis paralysis that can happen when they see, I have so much to change, what do I do? Or I have so many channels to deal with, what do I do?
No, and that is one of the biggest struggles. Parsing that down and getting it, narrowing it down and narrowing down the focus is the key. What we have is we have something that we call the Digital Capabilities Solution Alignment Workshop. Ridiculously long name, so we call it the Digital Capabilities SAW. But what it does is it really helps you align everything quickly and concisely. So really what you want to do is you want to take some time and analyze the business as a whole at a very high level. And what we generate, what we produce is a red, yellow, green one-page chart that makes it very easy to identify the hotspots. Again, we're not looking for minute little details, is one department functioning well versus another one. Is one initiative, is one whole area of the business functioning. From there, we go through an exercise where we really pinpoint those key focus areas. Whatever we find that's red in the big areas, we spend time drilling down into those sections. And at first we really ignore the yellows and the greens. We look at the reds, then we look at what are the areas we can innovate within those reds. So we've drilled down very quickly. We've gone from the very highest level to a couple levels down as to where the problem spots are. Then we look at the green and yellows, and we look where we can take lessons from them. We really innovate very quickly in that area. We get feedback on that innovation, and then we immediately move to the next one. So again, it's very small chunks based on a drilled down sort of high level roadmap that we can bring. It's one of the benefits of us having been doing this for so long. We can help our clients accelerate what they're trying to do because we've seen a lot of the problems that are out there.
So I think, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, why is strategy important and some of the things that we've done with customers around strategy and how to go execute on that. But one of the things that might be helpful for people listening to understand too is, what are some of the pitfalls around strategy that you should avoid, or what are the things you should consider doing to make sure that it's successful? Because you're investing time and money in doing this, so you want to get the most out of it.
The main pitfall that we've seen across the board, there's really, it's two part. We've seen oftentimes when we see one half of it, we'll see the other one. The first is, there needs to be executive buy-in. There needs to be an alignment coming from the top, really driving that ship forward. Because if you're bringing in a strategic consulting company to help you redefine X, whatever X is, it's probably a pretty big change. It's either a cultural change, or it's going to cause some reorganizations or a change in business focus. So if you don't have senior leadership driving it and really buying it and really pushing it, it's ripe to have infighting. People might not want their cheese moved. They might become territorial. So you have to have that buy-in at the highest levels to really drive everything forward. The second thing is that you really need to have the right resources participating. We had, I won't talk about everything's positive in this. I'll use a story that didn't work out so well. We worked with a hospital organization, and we tried to do this digital capabilities solution alignment workshop. We had buy-in at a mid-level, and what we ended up having is, so we had buy-in at the mid-level management, and they brought in a team for us to go through the project with them. What we ended up doing was we got valuable insight, but we were at the level of IT developer, of systems implementer, of, you know, really more of the individual contributors than the strategic thinkers. And we got really good feedback on the digital capabilities of the IT implementation department. And it was great. And again, not to belittle it was really good information, but it just wasn't broad enough in scope. And that was that kind of tied back to my first point of, that place didn't necessarily have the buy-in at the top. And so therefore it was a mid-level management person's idea who brought in all the best resources he could, but it really would only focus on one general area. If you're really truly trying to achieve business transformation, then there needs to be an alignment at that leadership level, at that senior leadership level.
Do you have any advice? I know I didn't prep you for this, but do you have any advice, having heard you say that, on like if that mid-level person's trying to do something good, they're trying to focus this, do you have advice on how to help them make it successful, whether it's, you know, helping build the bridge to the executive level or whatever that might be that would help, you know, drive that forward?
It's funny, what we're coming up here, what we're seeing is the parallels to the system development lifecycle that there was 10 years ago. Same way when there was, if you were trying to build a piece of software and you needed to really affect change, you would build something and show value and show it to the next level and then explain why you wanted to make this change in your software and then work your way up. Same exact thing. If you're a department head and you see that your department is not functioning well with some other departments, go find somebody that, you know, and I mean, we can help. It's sort of adoption. Go find somebody that is aligned in your thinking, and you guys build out a little strategy. How can these two departments work better? What synergies can they have? And when you can show success, you bring it out to the next level of departments, all the way up the top. It's one of those things where you can't, again, back to the 2000s, we need a website. Why do we need a website? Was the conversation. We need a strategy. Why do we need a strategy? Until you can show a value and show an ROI on a small part of it, you'll struggle getting that buy-in at the top.
So really what we've been doing for years, sort of building those bridges to the other areas and helping drive them into the channels that are gonna make them successful, really, really bringing all the parties together. And that's really important in today's modern world where we've got, you know, the CIO and the CMO really need to be working pretty closely together. CMO has a lot of budget. CIO has got to support all the tech that people are bringing in. We're starting to see more and more C-levels, number one, the digital officers and the information officers and all this stuff.
Yep.
But really building a coalition, is that from the Bush era, of these people who can really make it successful and drive change within the organization itself, as opposed to one person just sort of trying to drive change in their department.
Absolutely. That's where momentum is even gaining farther. CIOs and CMOs are starting to recognize this, and that's changing. There are 2 to 3,000 CDOs out there in the world right now. I can, you know, we have this great story of he was a marketing-minded CTO at this one company of ours, and he just walked in one day and said, I'm now the CDO, and marketing and IT both report to me. It's kind of a change. And he bought it, and he's actually very successful. I mean, he's a very great, you know, there's a reason why he was able to do that, but that's a prime example where those lines are blurring, and they're becoming, if not one role, complementary roles. One can't survive without the other anymore.
And we also recently saw this at another customer we're working with, where they had I guess you'd call him a CMO. He'd been there for 30 years. I don't know if a CMO was around when he started, but he was essentially the CMO of the bank at this time, and there was a different CIO, and it was sort of an old school that sort of graduated out of there, and we have a new CMO that's been on the job like just a few weeks trying to, you know, corral everything. And the first thing he did was reach out to the new CIO as well, and they started to build a group, and now they're going to the businesses themselves and trying to drive change, not just in, you know, how they reach customers or what their website looks like or, you know, what their marketing materials look like, but actually changing the business itself to be more competitive in the landscape today. And I think you really need that that input and that those types of people working together if you're going to drive the business to the next level, as opposed to just sort of focusing on your own little world.
Totally agree. I mean, it's anecdotal evidence, but I'd be willing to bet that those guys, those two individuals, the CIO and the CMO, have affected more change in that company in the last 3 months than there probably has been in the last 15 years.
I mean, we've talked a lot about, you know, what is strategy? How do we be successful with strategy? And what are the pitfalls that we've seen with strategy? I know we've got some real-world examples of being successful at doing sort of this iterative strategy and how that we've been able to really drive innovation and change in organizations by doing this in a more agile fashion. I don't know if you want to talk about the sales organization that we've been working with recently, sort of modernizing that whole thing and doing the strategy and capabilities for that.
Yeah, that's a very interesting story. It's a good story to tell. It relates really well to this. When we started this engagement, they were a sales company that was looking to modernize the tools that their sellers use when they're out in the field, basically a one step above clipboard and pens, but they want to bring it more into the modern age. But at the same time, they also needed to embrace that digital change farther in the company, not just the sales tools. So what we ended up doing, they knew they wanted to start with the sales tool. That was the biggest thing. They're a company that's getting a lot of millennials into their workforce. The millennials couldn't believe that they actually had to go to a website to enter the sales information and were basically mutinying over getting a mobile app. So that's where we started. So we had one team that was really focusing on the art of the possible. What can we do? How can we take this web interface, really streamline it, rethink that whole interaction design to take advantage of the mobile capabilities, knock this thing out of the park? In parallel, we had another team that was really working on, okay, what's next? What's after this app is built? Let's look at our digital capabilities. Let's assess everything that's in there and look for those hotspots. And what that showed was the ability to show success at the same time, and then the part that came out of that digital capabilities assessment is now they are going to build on that app in phase two and make it become a whole rep productivity platform. So it'll be a way for managers to check in on the people that are reporting to them. It'll be a way for them to manage commissions, look at commission reports, look at sales. How am I doing this month versus next month versus last month? All of these things that are going to be put into the palms of the salespeople's hands that were uncovered through the digital capabilities assessment that we did. But we're biting them off in small chunks. We're doing, again, that agile deployment. There's constantly new functionality that's going to be brought out based on simply a tool that modernizes their workplace applications and brings that more into the form that people expect today.
And with that, you know, taking that application to sort of that next level, I mean, some of the other things we've been talking about with them are around how to modernize those types of activities. I know things like as people are selling items using artificial intelligence to make recommendations and group things to better to drive better sales or even drive better margins, not necessarily better sales, but to change the margin and push the high volume margin items that go with the lower margin items so that you end up with more value overall. But the thing I really love about this story is that, you know, we're helping sort of with the strategy and help them look at their business and drive it forward.
That's the key. Yeah.
But we're also giving them concrete things they can use, but then we're also going, hey, how do we take this out the door? Let's throw artificial intelligence into this. Let's really up the game that this customer has.
And if you could have heard when we were doing the interviews with these guys, it was crazy. Because, I mean, they actually call it the book. They literally have a catalog that sellers get mailed with their products in there that they can look through. When we brought up that phase in, we'll call it, AI, to help them be able to determine what they can give away, what they can comp, what they shouldn't, how in real time that's going to impact their commission. I mean, it was called, what did they say? That's life-changing. That's job-changing. That will change everything, the whole way that this business is run, simply because when we get to that advanced enough layer where there's enough data and there's enough analytics, they don't need to do it. It will just do it automatically for them in real time. They throw a product in the cart, it'll automatically come up with suggestions that will have a positive impact on both the customer and the seller. That's not going to be released in phase one or two or phase three, but we're going to show the steps that we're going to get to it. And with each step, we're getting buy-in on taking bigger swings at cooler things that are being done.
Yeah, and that's what I love about what we're doing with a lot of our customers, right? We're really trying to say, how do we make successful things happen today? But then how do we look at the future and use a strategic approach to get there, to really take business to the next level? Because that's really what all of this is about at the end. We're not just building a mobile app or a website. We are driving business outcomes that are increasing revenue for companies and increasing their bottom line. Or it could be that it's just improving efficiencies in the market as well, which, you know, that drives the dollar as well. But that ability for us to be able to execute on all those different things, sort of from that strategic approach all the way through, you know, completed applications, intelligent interactions, and those different items that we're doing, really brings home everything that we're doing with strategy. And none of this stuff is possible if we don't start with the strategy. Otherwise, it's just little one-off projects that don't affect the bottom line or the company as much as when we bring them all together with strategy.
You said something there a second ago that really struck a chord with me. You talked about how we want to help take businesses to the next level and how businesses want to coordinate these efforts and use it to get to the next level. The key is, the next level is closer than it appears. You have to be able to get there faster and show value along the way, or you will get left behind, like I said before. That is the key. It's being able to move quickly but coordinatedly with strike force and surgical precision.
Excellent. I think that wraps up our time for today. I appreciate you joining me, Will, to talk through strategy and where we're going with that and all the great things that are going on. I know we're going to have a lot of other podcasts on these topics to really drill into all the different areas that we have. There's so much exciting stuff going on. It's always hard to sort of focus on one, but I figured we should start with what we tell our customers to start with, right? have a plan, have a strategy, and really start. So I really appreciate your time today, Will.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great to do, and hopefully for all the listeners out there, this showed some value for you.
Thanks, Will.
Thanks again for taking the time to listen to Creating Exceptional Experiences. We hope you found something interesting in today's podcast. You can learn more about Sirius and 5Out at our websites, SiriusCom.com and 5Out.com. Thanks again.